Glory to God. Aren't you glad for the Word of God? Tony, introduce your guest with you here this morning. You got a micro? Yeah.
This is our friend Nick Fontaine. He's from New Jersey. He's an ordained minister up there. And he was also my son Tanner's roommate when he was a third-year Rhema student.
All right.
At Rhema.
And so you graduated Rhema in?
I graduated the third year in 2015.
2015, the third year. Mm-hmm. Praise God. Hallelujah.
He's
Amen.
Been.
From New Jersey.
Yeah.
You have an accent?
A little bit.
Do we have an accent down here? Do you like grits?
I do.
All right. The secret to grits is it's like a lobster. You got to put butter and salt on them.
It's funny, you take him to eat and you can't go nowhere but Italian. That's just it, you know. Can't eat nothing but Italian. Breakfast and everything.
All right. And he is a New Jersey Republican. Glory to God. Maybe I should say conservative, Bible-believing. Glory to God. If you ever hear about something you didn't know about, you know, and you went, wow, I didn't know that. And it's a blessing to your life. You know, just in the natural. You know, if you go down to such and such and such, then you can do this and you can claim this, and they'll give you $100 off a year on your property taxes. I didn't know that. Yeah. Well, because Randy, I want you to say something, because this could be a great blessing to people. I know when I was like, you know, because we were serving God, we were going to Bible school, we were moving here, we were moving there, we're just doing whatever God tells us to do. And all people my age, you know, they were buying their first house, and, you know, we were 25 and didn't have our first house, we were 35 and didn't have our first house, we were 40 and didn't have our first house. But when we got ours, it'd be like today, you know, buying one and it's half paid for before you ever move in, praise God. You know, $200,000 or $300,000, just half paid for. So, but I remember when I was back in those days renting, you know, rent was expensive in those days. When I moved to Cleveland, Tennessee in 1981, the church didn't start until 83, but in 81, you know, interest rates were like at 12, 13, 14%. That was common. That was after the President Jimmy Carter years. But anyway, I remember thinking a lot of times, you know, I pay rent. My rent is more expensive than a house payment. But I don't have the $2,000, $3,000, $4,000, $5,000, $7,000, $8,000 that you need. If I had that, I could get a house tomorrow. I've been paying rent all these years easily. And so, Randy, I want you to just come, because I know a lot of you may already own your house or you're buying your home, but you got kids, you got grandkids, you got neighbors. And he called me and I said, no, I you know, this is a blessing to people to know about. Tell them, Randy and Pat, of course, are wonderful people. They were in the food industry ministry all their lives, were there. Realtors the last several years. And if you need a realtor, these guys. There may be others, but I'm telling you, these guys are good. But tell them about that program you were telling me about.
What we have right now, the business now is just kind of leveled out a little bit. And so lenders have come up with some other programs that we haven't been seeing lately. And one of them is where you have a lot of folks who have good jobs, make good money, they have credit, but they don't have the money they need to put down 20% on a home. There are lenders now who will do 100%. It's just, then you'll have to do is come up with the money to do the closing costs.
Sure.
So that is a real blessing for a lot of folks who are in a bind of trying to buy a home. They're paying so much in rent. Rent now is $1,500, $1,800, $2,000 a month. So we can help them. These lenders can help them. If you just get in touch with us, call me or Pat, we can get you the names of these folks who can work with you. We had one lady, they actually worked with her, got her truck payment down, where she could even buy more of a house. These people that's what they do. They're not, you're not bothering them when you call them. They're waiting for someone to call them, and so they can tell them about what the programs are. And they're a real blessing if folks know, but if you don't know, then you never get a chance to get a part of this.
Amen. Thank you, Randy. Yeah, yeah. Like I said, that would have been a real blessing to me and to Margaret and I, you know, all those years ago. Praise God. I moved to Cleveland, and you know, to buy a car is like 14% interest. And so I came here to work with an organization, and I went to, used to be Hall Chevrolet. You remember Hall Chevrolet? And so I filled out the paperwork and so forth, and the guy came over to talk with me, and he said, well, do you make other money? And I said, well, you know, I might get invited to speak somewhere, but I don't control that, and I'm mostly a local, you know, work at a church and a ministry. And he just went on and on and on and on and on and on and on. And I said, well, what's the problem? And he said, well, you don't make enough money to buy the, because I was buying a Caprice Classic, you know, nice car, because we were making more money than we ever made at that particular time. Matter of fact, once we started the church, we made less than half of that, you know, 3 years later. But I said, well, I didn't think $450 a week was that bad. And he said, it's not. You put down $450 a month. And so then this was the owner, you know, Paul Chevrolet. I said, well, what do I do? He threw the keys at me. He said, nothing. Take it home. Oh, if you want to get in touch with Randy and Pat, I don't know how you get in touch with Randy.
Just call us. Call us and we'll leave a card
out. We have people online. You get in touch with us, we'll tell you how to get in touch with Randy and Pat. Praise God.
You give them numbers, they'll forget.
Yeah, and they'll leave some. But like I said, if that's a blessing to you know somebody, you know that'll be a real blessing. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Here's a book I left up here last week. I don't want to leave that up here. That's a good book. Thank you, Jesus. Are you ready for the Word of God?
Amen.
Let's look at Proverbs chapter 4.
Amen.
Thank you, Father, for your precious, holy, written Word. It is the truth that makes us free. Glory to God as we do it and act upon it. Amen. It feeds our spirit. It renews our mind. It's medicine to all our flesh. It's profitable unto us. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And so we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20. Proverbs 4:20. I was talking and not turning. Proverbs 4, verse 20. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them, my words, in your heart, for they are life to those that find them, and health, cross-reference says, and medicine to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence. Not just keep it, but keep it with all diligence. In other words, guard your heart carefully and diligently. Keep your heart carefully and diligently. Put right things in. Don't allow wrong things to get in. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Amen. The New Living Translation says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. What's in is going to come out. The New Century Version says, be careful what you think, because your thoughts run your life. Well, the reason he talks about thoughts is because, you know, your mind is the gateway to your spirit. Whatever filters through your mind is going to eventually get in your heart. And so be careful what you think, because your thoughts run your life. Another says your thoughts control your life. And we're in a series that we're calling Real and Lasting Victory. Any believer, say, I'm a believer.
I'm a believer.
Any believer can know what the Word actually says. Now, religious tradition won't help you, you know, but any believer can know what the Word of God actually says for themselves, and then get that knowledge down on the inside of them, glory to God, by meditating on the Word until they fully see it and understand it and believe it. Until you get that Word on the inside of you, until you believe it more than you believe any feeling, more than you believe any emotion, more than you believe any natural truth, more than you believe what your five physical senses tell you. So any believer can do that. And any believer can keep wrong thoughts out of their minds by diligently watching over their thoughts. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
And when a believer does these two things, they will experience real and lasting victory. So we want to put good things in our heart, and we want to keep wrong things out of our minds and our hearts. And understand this, when I say a wrong thought is anything that contradicts God's Word. Sinful thoughts are wrong thoughts, but so are depressive thoughts. Fearful thought. Some thoughts aren't necessarily sinful, but if they contradict God's word, that is a wrong thought that you want to keep out of your mind. Certainly evil thoughts are wrong thoughts. Sinful thoughts, lustful thoughts are wrong thoughts. But doubt and fear are wrong thoughts. Depressive thoughts are wrong thoughts. Anxious thoughts, worry-filled thoughts are wrong thoughts. Insecure thoughts are wrong thoughts. Amen. Hopeless thoughts are wrong thoughts. Thoughts that say you're unworthy of God's love and you can't change and things will never get better and you can't make it and nobody loves me and you're not really forgiven are wrong thoughts. Glory to God. I like, you know, Paul said it this way in Philippians 4:8, and I'm going to read this from the Amplified Bible. We know this scripture, but this is so powerful. Just hear it like you never heard it before. Paul said, "Finally, believers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable and worthy of respect, whatever is right and conformed to God's word, whatever is pure and wholesome, whatever is lovely and brings peace, whatever is admirable and of good repute, if there is any excellent, if there is anything worthy of praise, think continually on these things." In other words, if it doesn't match that criteria, then don't take ownership for it. Don't think on those thoughts, whatever thought it is. So it says, think continually, Amplified Bible, on these things. Center your mind on them and implant them in your heart. Oh, you want to stay tuned for the last 10 minutes, and I'm going to tell you how to do that. So any thought, any suggestion, any idea, any notion, any impression, any feeling, any argument, any reasoning that comes to your mind that's not true is a wrong thought and should be immediately rejected. Any thought that comes to your mind that's not honorable and worthy of respect is a wrong thought and should be immediately, everybody say immediately. Immediately rejected. If it's not right and in line with God's word, it's a wrong thought. It should be immediately rejected. If it's not lovely and it doesn't bring peace, then it's a wrong thought and should be immediately rejected. If it's not admirable and of a good reputation, then it's a wrong thought and should be immediately rejected. If it's not excellent and worthy of praise, then it's a wrong thought and should be immediately rejected. Because the devil's game, this is his M.O., this is his method of operation. His game is to drop thoughts into our minds, thoughts that are not in line with God's word, in hopes that you will accept that thought and make it your own thought. Because when you make it your own thought, then he, through that wrong thought, will control your life to one degree or another. Are you listening to me? See, the thoughts of lie, the thoughts of temptation, when that's sown into your mind, then he can control your life. So his primary place of attack is in our minds and in our thoughts life, in our thought life. See, you've all heard that. Everybody I know for the last 500 years has said the battleground is in the mind. The battleground is in our mind. And that's one of the greatest truths you'll ever learn. And listen, the truth is not only that the battleground is in your mind, but that it's only by guarding your minds from the devil's lies and suggestions and thoughts that we can win the battle and stay free and get free and maintain our freedom in Christ. Glory to God. Are you listening to me? Now let's look at Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Thank you, Jesus. Ephesians 6, verse number 10. Ephesians 6, 10 through 13. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God." Why do you put on the whole armor of God? "That you may be able to stand against the wiles or the schemes of the devil." And his wiles and his schemes involves attacking your mind with thoughts that are out of line with God's word. "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against the spiritual host of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God." Why? "That you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore." Amen. So then Paul begins to list what we commonly call the armor of God, the Christian armor of God. Armor, of course, is what a soldier wears when he goes to battle. And God, through Paul, lets us know that we are in a war. Now, it's a war that we can't easily win. But a lot of Christians, that this is one of the great keys right here. People don't recognize that they are in a spiritual war. Amen. We are in a real spiritual battle against the wiles of the devil. You don't have to turn there, but 2 Corinthians 10:3 and 4 says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh." For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war. And then it goes on to say, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds." Actually, 2 Corinthians 10:4 says pulling down strongholds, and then verse 5 says casting down arguments or reasonings or imaginations. In the Greek, in verse 4, the words pulling down, and in the Greek, the words casting down are the same exact words, and the word pulling down or casting down means to demolish or to totally destroy. I don't know about you, but you know, pulling down the shades is one thing. If I say, "Go over there and pull those shades down." If I say, "Matthew, go over there and just rip them off the wall and destroy them and burn them and get rid of them." That's the idea. So war, warfare, demolish, destroy. Glory to God. 1 Timothy 1:18 speaks of waging warfare. 2 Timothy 2:34 refers to us as soldiers in Jesus Christ, engaged in warfare. Paul and Timothy talks about fighting the good fight. Our battles are spiritual battles, but notice the terminology: armor, war, warfare, soldiers, fight, demolish, weapons. When it comes to the devil's wrong thoughts, keeping the devil's wrong thoughts out of our minds, we must realize we are in a war. We are in a spiritual battle that you must win if you want to experience real victory and lasting victory. Now, this is an extremely important key. Stay with me here now. This is an extremely important key to keeping the devil's lies out of our minds and to living a victorious, blessed life, because you cannot win a conflict you don't know or admit you're in. You cannot win a conflict that you don't know you're in. Andrew Womack said it this way. He said, "Every Christian is at war. There is a perpetual struggle against Satan and his kingdom for which there are no leaves or discharges." In other words, you can't afford to take a spiritual vacation. You might take a natural vacation, but you can't just say, "I'm just not going to control my mind this week." You never take leave. You're in war. The devil's always there. The enemy goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, 1 Peter 4:18. Those who resist the devil will see him flee. The only ones whom he devours are those who don't actively fight against him. Only those who become militant in their resolve will enjoy the spoils that are ours in Christ Jesus. And he goes on to say, not realizing we are at war doesn't lessen the battle. It just guarantees defeat. Are you listening? So you know James 4:7 doesn't just say resist the devil. It says submit to God and resist the devil. That's a whole other ball game. Submit to God and resist the devil. And the word resist there means to actively fight against and stand against. Nothing passive about that word. So we cannot just passively roll along and win the battle in our minds. Amen? So we have to understand this is a war, and we have to have a militant, violent resolve in not to accept wrong thoughts in our minds and not to allow our minds to go after wrong thoughts. You know, wrong thoughts will come to you, but not only that, you know, there are certain things that trigger things in your mind that you may be susceptible to. Now, certain thoughts come to your mind and you go, "What is that? I rebuke you in the name of..." And it just leaves. But you know, you can smell something, you can see a billboard, you can hear something, you can see something, and then your mind will want to go that way. You cannot play with that. This is the key to victory. You cannot play with it for one single second. You have to right then be militant and demolish it and destroy it and not let it get in your mind. Because if it gets in your mind, it will take charge. And understand this, the devil has absolutely no power to defeat us. He's already defeated foe. But he has no power to sow thoughts in our mind that we don't want if we use our spiritual weapons. You have to understand that. And spiritual power, we must use them. We have the Word of God. We have the name of Jesus. We have the blood of Jesus. We have the power of praise. We have the shield of faith. We have the breastplate of righteousness. You have never used your spiritual weapons and been defeated, ever. If you were ever defeated, it's because you didn't use your spiritual weapon. Amen. And if you resist the devil, if you submit to God and resist the devil, he will flee. Flee means run. Like, I've got to get away from this as fast as I can. And when you submit to God and resist the devil, he runs from you. When you don't submit to God and resist the devil, he doesn't run. And so somebody says, yeah, I know. We're in a real enemy. We have a spiritual enemy. He's the devil. We're soldiers. We fight the spiritual weapons against the devil. But at the same time, people don't act on what they know. I was just talking to Reverend Bill McCray. Bill's 81 years old. You'd think he's, you know, 60. And a fabulous man of God, wonderful man of God in the Nashville area. And we were walking around, you know, because at our retreat, we had tickets to go to Dollywood the next day. So we went to Dollywood. And we're walking around and we see David Husky. David's been here preaching, you know, David's up from the Athens area. And David said, "Hey, Mark, have you rode Lightning?" I said, "Let me stop you right there, brother. I don't ride anything named Lightning." Not a horse, not a bull, not a roller coaster. I don't ride Lightning. I'm fixing to get on the train over here, you know. The old-fashioned coal mine train. And the stupid train got soot all over me. And they warned about embers getting in your eyes. Forget my eyes. I literally rode like this, protecting my new Breitling watch. That's what I was worried about. I don't ride Lightning. Anyways, I'm talking right about that same time. That's what reminded me. I'm talking to Bill McCray, and he said, you know, the problem with our folks in our circles is in our circles, people have a tremendous knowledge of the Word of God. They really do. They're well taught. Many people have a tremendous... They know things that a lot of Christians, the average Christian, lives and dies and never knows. That's the truth. Absolute truth. But he said just knowing the truth won't cause you to be blessed and overcome. You've got to be a doer of the Word that you know. And that's absolute. We know that. That's absolutely the truth. Amen. Knowing the truth is a very necessary, absolutely must. It's a necessary step in the right direction. But those that have a revelation of what they know. Those that have a revelation, you have to meditate to revelate. And when you get a revelation, then you'll believe the Word. Then you'll act on the Word. Then you'll be a doer of the Word. And then you'll reap the benefits of the Word. James says you can know the Word, but if you don't act on it, you're deceiving your own self. So we are at war. Don't take that for granted. We are at war. And we are to destroy and demolish and take captive any and every thought that comes to our mind that's wrong in any way and not let our minds go toward any wrong thoughts. It's the key to victory. Because bottom line, see, we're talking about real and lasting victory. Bottom line, I don't care how many people counsel you. I don't care how many times you've been prayed for. I don't care how many times the devil has been cast out. And I've seen people helped from mental strongholds by the Spirit when a devil was cast out. I've seen people help through counseling. I've seen people help through the laying on of hands. I've seen people go away to some of the most marvelous recovery programs on the planet. Whether it's something like a teen challenge program or whether it's something like Canyonland, you know, Matt Gober that we support, that's what it is, you know, that's a recovery type program. Or whether it's Celebrate Freedom, or whether it's the Betty Ford Clinic or the Minerith Myrith Clinic that'll cost you thousands and thousands of dollars for your company to send you there. I had a guy went there one time and he told me it was the most wonderful place that he had ever been. He experienced things and heard things he had never heard. I said, "Are you better?" He goes, "Not one iota." So you can go through all of that. You can have 55 accountability partners. I'm not against any of these things. These things are helpful. They're a blessing. But you can't live right if you don't think right. And nobody can think for you, and nobody can think for me. Nobody can control your thoughts, and nobody can control my thoughts. You can't live right if you don't think right. You can't be truly free if you don't do what God tells you to do about your thought life. And listen. We can keep wrong thoughts out of our minds, and we can get rid of wrong thoughts we have allowed in the past to become to take root in our hearts and become a stronghold. I don't know. I don't care if it's fear or lust or envy or pride or it doesn't matter what it is. The devil doesn't care what it is. He just wants to mess you up. If something has become a stronghold in your life, you can root it out. You can, receive deliverance by faith through Jesus Christ, and then you can, by the Holy Spirit and the power of the Spirit, begin to, when those thoughts come, you can. Now, like I said, a crazy thought can come to your mind, a goofy thought, a simple thought, a fear thought, and you can be so, I'm so trained to reject fear thoughts, it's like even surprise one tries to attack my mind, wow! I attack it back, and it's gone. But if you got a stronghold in your mind, it might come and put pressure on you, and it might try to hang around. But you can resist it and stand against it and refuse to think it. And it might take you 30 seconds. It might take you 5 minutes. It might take you 10 minutes to get it off of you. But when you get it off of you, then it's not there and it's not bothering you. You understand? The temptation's not there. The thought's not there. The fear's not, whatever. Now, if it's a stronghold, it might come back in 10 minutes. And then you got to do the same thing again. And it might come back. But if you'll do that and do that and do that, whether it's depression, it will get off of you. It will get off of you. And so listen carefully. Please listen to this. And then I'll share some things with you that'll really help you. Victory is not lost because we cannot do what God tells us to do. Victory is never lost because you don't have the power to do what God tells you to do. Whatever God commands you to do or tells you to do, He enables you to do. He empowers you to do. He graces you to do. So if God says I can cast, down wrong imaginations, then I can do it. If God says I don't have to think, I don't have to be worried and full of anxiety, then I can do it. I just can't do it. Well, I don't know why people think they can take sides against the Word of God and have victory. You got to say I can do what God says I can do. So victory is not lost because we cannot do what God tells us to do. In this case, God tells us, Jesus set us free, but God tells us to do something about our minds. You didn't get a new mind when you were born again. You got a new spirit, and God tells us to renew our minds, and He tells us to cast down wrong imaginations. In this case, we're talking about diligently guarding our thought life and not giving a wrong thought a single inch. Victory is lost when we don't do what God's Word says. So anytime and every time you submit to God, like I said, and resist the devil, he flees from you. When you don't, he defeats you. And listen, it does take diligence. It does take effort to guard our minds, especially if you have a stronghold of fear or a stronghold of depression or a stronghold of lust or whatever built up in your mind. Amen. It does take diligence and effort and strength. But listen, we are not talking about overcoming with our willpower. Only Jesus can truly set us free. We are talking about using our willpower to do what Jesus told us to do. There is a vast difference. Are you listening? So when it comes to your mind, I just flew on an airplane, so I was reminded of these things. You can't let any wrong thought come in. You've got to be like those security officers at the airport. Now, I know some people have never flown, but when you get on an airport, they have the TSA agents. TSA is the Transportation Security Administration. They have security officers, and their job is to make sure people don't get on a plane with anything that could be a security risk or a threat of some kind. And they are very committed to their job. They are very serious about their job. They do not want you getting on that plane with anything. And they don't go, oh, I'm sorry, you forgot to bring that 12-inch honey knife because you were out in whatever, honey, and just go ahead. No, 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 no. They're going to take you to the back room, and it's going to be 7 or 8 hours before you're seen again. No, they're very serious about it. Amen. And so, but maybe you don't know because you haven't flown much, or maybe you've never flown. But you know, when you get into an airport, you don't really get very far. I mean, you can get to the ticket area, the baggage area, but to get beyond that, you have got to go through security. You've got to go through TSA. You've got to go through those agents. And you know, the first thing you have to do is you go up there and you have to show ID and you have to show your ticket. And if you can't show an ID and a ticket, then you don't get any further. That's the first thing you have to do. After you get through that, you have to go through the screening process. And that's a whole lot of fun when you're flying out of Atlanta. We just flew out of Atlanta. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people yelling, people screaming, people, you know, if you do it every day of your life or fly a lot, you know what's going on. But if you don't, you're kind of like, am I in the right line? Am I doing the right thing? What am I supposed to, you know, put your thing up there and scan it with your phone? What do you mean scan it? You know, well, right here, you know, and they're just kind of looking at you like, what, are you stupid or something? You know, and so get over here, this line, move. And how many of you know what I'm talking about? They've been on a plane. Now, when we left Kalispell, Montana, there's three good old boys, and it's real simple because we went to Glacier National Park. But, you know, in Atlanta, it's a different deal. So you get up there, and you have to go through the screening process. Understand, when you go through the screening process, they're going to take you through this cylinder scanner. But you just don't walk in there. They have all these bins, and you have to put all your stuff in these bins, and they go through a scanner. So you have to take your coat off. You have to take your coat off, and you have to put it in that bin. And you have to take your briefcase. You have to put that in a bin. And sometimes, you know, people are great. You got to get two or three bins. And you got to take your watch off. And you have to take your ring off. And you have to take your belt off. And you have to take your shoes off. And you have to take any and everything that's in your pocket out. And you have to put it on those bins. And they're like, rush, so that you can go through this scanner. Amen. And so you know, I'm doing it this last time. I'm kind of halfway familiar with it, but I'm doing it. And I get up there, and because you're the next person in line. But then I realize, oh, God, I forgot my wallet. And I'm over there trying to throw it in there, you know. And then you're not really happy about, you know, you got your watch and your rings, and you're kind of losing sight of them for a few seconds. And then on the other side, there is no nice lounge you go to where you can sit down and relax and put all this stuff back on. Those things are shooting out, and you're trying to put your shoe and make sure I get my watch there. That's expensive. You know, you know what I'm saying? You're trying to. Matter of fact, I was in an airport going to the Ukraine one time. And I mean, you understand, in those days, particularly going overseas, we're giving the local missionary the money we need for our trip. Or maybe we're helping them buy, you know, some equipment or something. And so I've actually got, and you can't do it bank to bank. You got to take them American, you know, $100 bills. They love it overseas in Europe. So I have $10,000 in my briefcase. I keep that briefcase with me, you know, everywhere I go. The only time it ever gets away from me is when I have to put it on that screening machine, and then I pick it up. When I get on the plane, I don't put it in the overhead bin. I put it on my feet, and my feet are on top of it. But this is so rushed and so, put it on my wallet. Do I have my wallet? And put it on my belt. And you're trying to put it on your shoes. And I started walking down the, you know, because you got to get to your flight. I went about 200 yards, and a guy tapped me on my shoulder and said, you left your briefcase. And I was like, oh, my gosh. Thank you. And as soon as he got away, I'm opening that thing up and making sure that we got that in there. You know? And so you're doing, because what are they doing? They are screening. They are not going to allow anything on that plane that some nut could use or some terrorist could use to cause a problem or to run a plane into a building. And so now you have to go through the big cylinder thing. Now, if you've never done this, when you go through this big round cylinder, it's got these two yellow feet on the ground. Well, if you do it all the time, you know what you, if you don't do it, you don't know what to do, and you don't even know to step in it, and the guy's going, you know, and he's telling the other person, get out of the way. And so you go in there and you put your feet just like, you know, you put your feet just like this, and then there's instructions up here that tell you to put your hands like this. And this machine whirls around you. And so my sister-in-law, I don't think she realized what was going on, but she got in it, and you know, and so she's standing there, and the girl says, read the sign. By read the sign, she meant read it and do what it says, which is do this. And Judy started going, put your feet on the... She started reading the sign. And if it doesn't buzz, If the thing buzzes, then that's a whole nother thing. Then they pat you down and wand you down. And if it doesn't buzz, they still may bring you to the side and pat you down. You understand how this is going? Why? This is all very serious. This is all very, you know, we're not letting anything get on that plane that shouldn't be there. You don't need to let anything get in your mind that doesn't need to be there. You need to be the TSA agent of your own mind. And so if they find something suspicious, you know, if they sometimes they find things that aren't, if they find something really suspicious, they take you to a back room and you may never be heard from again. I mean, it's just like, we don't know what happened to him. He was with us and then he was gone and we never saw him again. You see this little knife there? I've been given 50, 60 knives over the year. I carry this little bitty thing because it's so lightweight. See, it has these cute little scissors on them, you know? Isn't that cute? I can trim my mustache. I can do stuff with it. Cut fishing line. It's lightweight. That's why I carry it. Not allowed. They own about four of these that I have. Yeah, so you can go to Pigeon Forge or Gatlinburg, and you can go in some knife store, and they'll have a stack of these in a little bin about this high that they'll sell you for $5 where they've taken from airports. Now, about two years ago, they decided that it was okay to take these on airplanes, but the populace pitched a fit, and so they did away with the rule. I thought, leave my little knife alone. But I just forgot. And so here's their thing. See, this is their thing, like, well, what do I do with it? Well, sir, you can go back, get out of line, leave the airport, go to the post office, and mail it back to your house. Right. My plane leaves in 15 minutes. It's yours. So this is all going on. They are serious with a capital S about what gets through and on that airplane. Like I said, so that some nut or some terrorist won't do something. It's much too dangerous not to be serious. Thank God for them, really. Well, like a TS agent, we must declare war against all wrong thoughts. We must declare war. We must realize this is battle. This is real spiritual warfare. And we must be 10 times as vigilant as they are to not allow any wrong thoughts come into our minds. We've got to be serious about it. Now, I was in, you know, I flew into Glacier Park International Airport because we were going to Glacier Park, 58 miles from Canada. And so we're staying in a city called Kalispell, which is, you know, 30 or 40 miles from one of the entrances into Glacier National Park. It's one of the main places people stay. We rent this little house there, fixed up 1900 house, fixed up real nice, 1903 something. And in the house there was this book. Margaret said, hey, this Christian book. Now, it really looks old, doesn't it? But if you examine this book real, real close, it's not old. This book was printed just a couple of years ago. It was designed to look like that. It's The Forge in It by Tim Tebow and Stephen Furtick and so forth. And it's by a guy I had never heard of named Levi Lusco, but then I found out he's actually a pretty famous guy and a real funny guy and goes to a lot of conferences all over. And so Margaret said, she read a couple of pages, said, this is really good. So I began to read this and had a chapter on the mind and, you know, it's so good, so wonderful. It only cost me like $4.95. I didn't steal the book from that. I didn't steal the book that I saw. I had this one I got from Amazon mailed to my house, okay. So it's very interesting because we left Kalispell just to go like 10 miles away to a restaurant we heard about, and all of a sudden we're out in the middle of nowhere, and there's this big intersection, and they're saying a vent thing up ahead. There's all kind of cars. Traffic has slowed down and so forth. And Kerry Job was there. Tim Tebow was there. And this guy, Levi Lusco, was there. So anyway, he's I want you to read what he says because he's talking about TSA agents. That's what, because I just experienced it. That's why you need a TSA-style checkpoint in your skull. TSA wields such power, and they are in total control of what you bring onto the plane. Once you step up to the podium and hand over your documents for inspection, you are totally at their mercy. Accidentally bring fireworks with you? They're not getting through. Bring a 6-ounce bottle of shampoo in your carry-on? Kiss it goodbye. If you've never flown, you can bring you know, personal items for your take-on, like shampoo, like lotion, but it can only be 3 ounces, and it can only be in a clear, you know, something they could see through. So Daisy just recently was flying back from college to see her parents, and she just stuck in her bottle of shampoo or whatever, and you can buy it in Gatlinburg for a discounted price now because they took it, you know. Yeah. Kiss it goodbye. Bear spray you forgot to have in your hand. Saranara. Bear spray. Oh, yeah. See, this makes sense to me because, you know, they just don't have black bears in the Glacier National Park like we have in the Smokies. They have grizzly bears. We saw grizzly bears 500, 600, 700, 800 yards away. We called the landlord of the house. Should we buy bear spray? Yes. We called the National Park Service. Should we buy bear spray? Yes. So it's not uncommon for people to see a bear on a trail, not in your car looking out the window, but on a trail to see a bear, and not just a 400-pound black bear, but to see a grizzly bear. And so you've got this bear spray. You have, my brother-in-law is carrying it around. I'm right with him the whole time. He's got the bear spray, man. I'm going with him. Of course, we didn't know how to use it, and we got to read the label. It says it only blows out like 4 seconds at a time. He'd have probably shot me in the eyes with it if he ever had to use it, you know. But he's got the bear spray. Kiss it goodbye. You have to do whatever the TSA agents tell you to do, and you can only bring beyond the checkpoint what they deem is safe for you to have with you. And if you ever forget your ID, you will discover the lengths these agents will go to carry out their jobs. One time I was flying through Newark, New Jersey, with only a temporary... Newark, that's how you say it, right? New Jersey. How'd you say it?
Newark.
Newark. Not Newark, but Newark. Newark. With only a temporary driver's license, one of those paper ones the DMV prints out on the spot when your real one is coming later in the mail. For whatever reason, it wasn't a problem on my outbound segment, but in Newark, the agent didn't recognize the temporary ID as valid. He pulled me off to the side and explained that he would have to do a thorough examination of my person and possessions. By thorough, I was soon to discover he meant he had to slide the back of his hand over every... I'm quoting him now, direct, okay. He had to slide the back of his hand over every square inch of my body. I've been married for 13 years, but this screening involved places my wife doesn't even know about. The guy was a total pro about it. He even gave me a cigarette afterwards. I'm joking. He said that. He said, I'm joking. I know this sounds like a rant about the screening process, but it's actually a recommendation for more screenings in your thought life. You need to force your thoughts to go through inspection. Not only do you have the permission to screen your thoughts, the Bible explicitly commands you to do it. A study back in the 1980s revealed that people have an average of 500, and now you have a lot more thoughts than this, but an average person has about 500 intrusive thoughts every 16 hours, each lasting an average of 14 seconds. Many of these intrusions are just worries or anxious thoughts. 18% are mean, unacceptable, or politically incorrect, and 13% are just downright ugly, downright shocking. Shove a stranger off the platform, run over a pedestrian, stab a partner, you know, strangle somebody, you know, smother an elderly parent, drive your car off a bridge. That amounts to 160 minutes a day of some sort of unwanted, unwelcome, and unhelpful thought stealing our joy and neutralizing our effectiveness. To be clear, the problem isn't that these thoughts show up. The problem is that we let them pull out the sofa bed and spend the night. An old saying warns that you can stop birds from flying over your head, but you don't have to let them build a nest in your hair. You can't stop them flying over your head, but you don't have to let them build a nest in your hair. That is why it is so essential to install a checkpoint in your mind. Without such a filter, see, it takes diligence, it takes effort. If a stronghold is built up in your mind, it takes extra effort. But if you don't do it, you risk the thoughts sneaking through and causing untold amounts of terror and damage to your peace and God-given power. When you force each thought to go through this screening before you allow it to remain, you can take back control from fear, shame, jealousy, and guilt. You'll find that being so alert to what you're thinking will have a huge impact on your emotions. Remember, you can change the way you feel by changing what you think. Most people just say, well, I can't help the way I feel. Yes, you can. You can change your emotions. You can change your feelings by what you think. See, where the head goes, the body must follow. Your emotions will follow right thinking. Your emotions will follow wrong thinking. So in closing, I want you to do something with me. I want you to think of the biggest, baddest, meanest, in your imagination now, I want you to, those are all legit words. I looked them up, you know, I'm making sure. The baddest, meanest guard dog that you can imagine. This is a junkyard dog. He's in charge of, you know, he's the fenced in area, and he's the biggest, baddest one you have ever seen. I named him Fang. He's nobody gets in Fang's fence ever. Ever. He's a guard dog. That's what he does. He's on duty. He's always on duties. He never ignores somebody just cutting through. You can't just ignore little thoughts and think it doesn't matter. You know, thoughts come from within. Thoughts come from without. Thoughts come because you see something. Thoughts come because you hear something. And so your attention can be directed to something. And you can't just say, well, I'll play with it for 3 seconds. No. He never plays with an intruder. If you just come anywhere near the fence, old Fang, he charges out there growling and snarling and barking, and he doesn't even want you near the fence. He's guarding that. Amen. Glory to God. I said, glory to God. And he doesn't just keep people out of the fence. He doesn't let the person he's guarding leave the fence. You can't let something trigger you. People are triggered by different things. You can't let something trigger your particular life. So you need to set a guard dog. You are the guard dog of your thoughts, but if you want to name it, go ahead. I name mine Fang. You could name yours Killer. You could name yours Darth Vader. You could name yours Jaws. How about Savage? How about Nitro? Or Viper? Or Cobra? Or Grizzly? Or Bruiser? But listen. You got this image of this dog? I mean, really, the biggest, baddest, meanest junkyard dog you've ever seen. And his job is to control your thoughts and not let anything in your mind. Now, in your mind, increase this dog's prowess by 100 times. And you become like that when it comes to dealing with thoughts that try to enter your mind. Because this is true spiritual warfare. And one of the greatest, greatest keys you will ever learn to experience real and lasting victory. Amen. Let's stand together. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Say, my mind is my mind. I can do what God tells me to do. See, it's only when you don't do it. You can do it. Have you ever successfully resisted the devil in an area that gives you a lot of trouble? Have you ever successfully resisted him many, many, many times and won the victory? Have you ever failed in that area? But you can do it. Amen. And see what happens. I think of that scripture. There is no temptation taking you. You know that scripture? That God will not give you a way of escape. And that is... Anytime you say that scripture, people just, they almost smile. They go, yeah. But then it's like, oh. That scripture is absolutely the truth. What happens is the thought has already taken root in somebody's mind. It's already in somebody's heart. That's not a temptation anymore. And that's why they fail, because it's already gotten in you. And once it gets in you, it's going to come out. But before it ever gets in you, there is no temptation taking you. It's not common to man that you can't resist, and it will, and then God will give you a way of escape. Once it gets in you, that's not time to, you know, that's not a time to resist it. That's time to then repent and say, whether you actually do anything. Because once it's in you, you're going to say something or you're going to do something to reflect what's in you eventually. Glory to God. But I wish you could think for me. I really wish you could, but you can't. And I can't think for you. And we can, by the Spirit of God, cast a devil out of you and he will leave. But then you are still going to be responsible for doing something with your mind for the rest of your lives. But it's not just a horrible, you know, I mean, I'm not just rebuking wrong thoughts 24/7. I'm just living a wonderful, normal life. And some thought comes like, oh, what is it? In the name of Jesus, I refuse. Or some trigger. No, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to look that. I'm not going to think that. I'm not going to go down that route. Not for a second. And then you experience a freedom that's real and genuine and lasting. Can you say amen? Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Might seem small and insignificant, but it ain't getting through. I know, they own mine. Thank you, Jesus. Lift your hands and praise God over this. Think about it. Amen. Praise you, Father. Lift your hand. Thank Him. Thank Him for freedom. Thank Him that you're free in Christ. Say, I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. I'm righteous. I'm washed in the blood. I'm forgiven. Sin and Satan have no power over me. Have no dominion over me. I can control wrong thoughts. When I resist the devil, he runs from me. I am victorious in Christ Jesus. Every day of my life, I rest in what Jesus has done for me. And I renew my mind. And I let the man on the inside live on the outside. I put on the new man and put off the old man in Jesus' name. Now praise Him and thank Him for it. Thank Him that it's so and thank Him that it's true. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Father. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you feel like that your mind is just under severe attack right now and you just feel oppressed by some fear or some problem or some situation and it's just like you just don't know what else to do, and come up here. We want to pray for you. If that's you, glory to God. Amen. Go ahead and praise God and thank God. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Thank you. Come on, come on, Jack. Come on up here. Come on up here. Anybody else? Praise God. Tony, and Jack, come here and pray for Jack and minister Jack. Glory to God. I call them out by the Spirit of God. They're going to minister effectively to you, and you're going to receive. Say, I'm going to receive. In Jesus' name. Now, glory to God. Amen. Anybody else? Nothing to be. Well, we've all been oppressed at times. Thank you. Stretch forth your hand and pray for him. Glory to God in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Abakurasha takahaha. Come closer, Matthew. Come. Amen. I see it like a band around your head like this. Like a tight band. And in the name of Jesus. I'm gonna say the name of Jesus and the band's gonna go. All right? In the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The band's gone. Gone, 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 gone. Say it's gone. Say, Matthew, it's gone. You say this. It's gone in the name of Jesus. Gone, gone, gone. In the name of Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. See, if you're so bound that you can't do something, then we need to get rid of the devil. Now, once we get rid of the devil, it is our responsibility to maintain our victory. But if you're so bound you can't get free, come up here. We'll pray for you. We'll get the devil off of you. Glory to God in the name of Jesus. Praise God, 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 praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just praise Him. Just praise Him. Just praise Him. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I go rondo lava bakaradiki. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Satela kurisa tela kurisa tela kurisa tela kurisa tela kuritiki. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Put your hands down for a second. Because I want everybody to see this. How many of you can say at one time in my life, whether it was sickness, whether it was some mental oppression, whether it's some deep, dark, wrong desire, whether it was some secret sin, whether it was depression, whether it was just anything. How many of you can say at one time I was totally bound by something, but now I'm totally free? Lift your hand. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. See, the devil tries to sow into people's minds, no. You're just going to have to live with this the rest of your life. It's not your problem. You're a victim. Oh, I'm a victim. That's right. It's not my fault. That robs you of victory. I am not a victim. I don't have to live with anything that Jesus delivered me from. Say that out loud. Say, I don't have to accept anything. I don't have to live with anything. I don't have to limp through life with some problem that Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary set me free from. So I never. I never accept I was born this way or this has been passed down. It's all broken. The curse is broken. Generational curse, whatever you want to call it, is broken over my life. And I am free. Say it. I am free. Go ahead. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus.
I don't have a song, okay. But I do have something to share regarding this. And I'm not going to play piano while I talk because then it'll just, it's not good. But I just felt like I needed to share this. And, you know, I dealt with throughout middle school and then some of high school with really intrusive, like, suicidal thoughts. And, like, all the time, like, constant, like, if I was driving or anything, just very bombarding. And so I was delivered from that and dealt with a period of time where I didn't have that at all. And so from the, I don't want to say the middle of nowhere because I know where it came from, but the beginning of this year, those thoughts started coming back. And I remember just feeling very like, I talked to my husband about it and just feeling very like discouraged and like, you know, I thought I was redeemed for this. Well, why is this happening? And just all of those thoughts, those doubts and everything, knowing what I know, knowing everything that he's talking about, knowing all of these things, and just being like, well, why is this happening? Why is this happening? But, you know, the thing is, just because the thoughts come back, that's not where my identity is. And that's not who
that's right.
I am.
That's right.
And
that's right.
You are redeemed from something. Just because it comes back doesn't mean you haven't been redeemed from it. Just because that comes back doesn't mean, well, now it's changed. You know, well, I guess I deal with that now again. No, you still have to stand your ground. Just like with anything else, if you have a head cold even and you start to feel better, well, if the next day you're feeling a little worse, that doesn't mean that you're not healed.
That's right.
It's just you have to continue to stand. You have to continue to do the things you're supposed to do. If you have an infection and you go to a doctor and they recommend you take an antibiotic to clear the infection, they tell you to finish out the whole thing. Because if you stop taking it, the infection can come back. You have to continue to do what has been prescribed to you. You have to continue to do what has been told to you, what you have been trained in. I grew up in this. So I should be perfect, right? No. It says in this world we're going to have tribulations, but it also says to stand firm in what we know. So if you're somebody who maybe you grew up in this, or maybe you know, you feel like you know everything about this, right? And you're still dealing with something or dealing with these really intrusive thoughts, don't let up. Don't let up. You continue to press into the Lord. You stand firm on what you know. I know the truth. I know that the Lord has a destiny for me. I know that I am loved. I know that I have a plan for my life, a plan that is going to be good, a plan to live long life, right? So if that's you and you're just dealing with that, I just want to encourage you this morning, do not leave and just be like, yeah, well, everything he's saying isn't true because I'm still dealing with this. That's not the case. Come talk to somebody. If you are dealing with these thoughts, reach out and talk to somebody. If it's your spouse, if it's your parent, if it's one of us, we are here for you. We love you and we want to help you. We want to stand with you in prayer and be there for you. Do not fight alone. You have support. You have the Lord. You have us. So.
Amen. Amen. Perfect, baby. Perfect. Perfect. This is so true when it comes to forgiveness. You know, I heard Brother Copeland say many, many years ago, he said, you know, if you get to, like Christina said, if you're sick and you get healed and 3 weeks later, you know, that's a symptom shows up, if you've been well taught, you just don't go, oh my God, it came back. No, you resist it in the name of Jesus. You know what I'm talking about. He said, same way with forgiveness. You forgive somebody, then 4 months later, you know, all of a sudden a thought comes to you. They did me dirty. You think, oh, I thought I forgave them. No. Resist it and say, no, I did forgive them. And they are forgiven in the name of Jesus. See, same thing. Thank you, Jesus.
And I just have an unction in my spirit about this particular thing. And that is that philosophies, ideas, theologies, things that are contrary to the Word of God. Sometimes the devil can get a foothold there by what the world is telling you is the answer, but it's not the answer. And if he can get a foothold and make you believe, instead of looking to the Word, let me look to this philosophy. Let me look to this that sounds good, and you begin to think on that, and you begin to try to apply that to your life, but it's not going to produce freedom, and the devil doesn't care what it is as long as he can get you to stop applying the Word and apply some worldly philosophy. You're just as bound. And you can't look to the world for answers, for your marriage, for your thoughts, for your kids. You can't look to the world. You've got to stick with the Word, because the Word is the truth. And philosophies change, and ideas change, and so-called science changes. But the Word will not change. So when it comes to your children, when it comes to your marriage, I'm not going to listen to the philosophy of the world that says this and says this and says this, and I'm going to start applying those principles in my life and walking that out. I'm going to go to the Word, and I'm going to see what the Word says for me to do with my children. I'm going to go to the Word. I'm going to see what the Word says to do in my marriage, and I'm going to apply that, because that will bring freedom. And no other source will. But if you've been entertaining those philosophies in your mind, you've allowed the devil to get a stronghold even with that, with a philosophy that's not truth. And you've allowed it to come in, and you've applied it, and you're like, I'm not free, I'm not free, I'm not free, because that has no freedom to it. And it's real popular. Lots of things are real popular. Lots of things are real popular. And they sound good, but they're not going to set you free. So recognize in my mind, am I trying to apply philosophy when I need to apply the Word of God? Am I trying to apply what the world says, but it's not found in the Bible? I can't find it there. It sounds good. It sounds like wisdom. But when I go to wisdom, the Word of God, it's not in there. Then you need to reject those ideas and turn your back on them and cling to and cleave to the Word.
Amen, 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 amen. Amen, 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 amen. Glory to God. We come against the spirit of suicide in the name of Jesus. I know by the Holy Ghost that there's somebody here dealing with some suicidal thoughts. I also know that they're not going to come forward for different reasons. Doesn't mean you can't be helped. But right now we come against the spirit of suicide. Command you to take your hands off this person, to go from them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Suicide is a permanent solution to a temporary problem. Things and circumstances will change in your life. And you'll be happy, and you'll have a family, and you'll rejoice and be glad that you didn't listen to the lies of the devil, and that you lived and went on to be a blessing and were blessed yourself, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 A wife that would have never been. Children that would have never been. Grandchildren that would have never been. A whole world of opportunities of love and joy and devotion. Glory to God in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. All is well. All is well. All is well. All is well. In Jesus' name. Samana satala vamano sotula vabakaru setiki. Say the Lord is good. And His mercy and His loving kindness to me endures forever and ever. In Jesus' name. Praise God, praise God, praise God. And say, I'm a doer of the word. I know. In Jesus' name. God bless you. God bless you. We love you. You're dismissed. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.